You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 40. I am Dan Hammond.
I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we're going to be talking about just a bunch of random stuff. And we've got an email from a listener. We'll spoil it. The reason they have pointed at you isn't set on
stern, Section 31. Well, I know we've talked about this before, but some things have come up recently. And that is the issue of the proxies.
That's right. The German regional is allowing all proxies in the tournament. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, actually, I've had one of our local players who's played for ages ask me if he could use a proxy in a tournament. And pretty much my answer was, look, it's going to be a regional, so we might have out-of-town people who, you know, might care. But if it's just us locals, yeah, I have no problem with it.
Yeah. But apparently, some people do. Even though they're not going to be there, there are some people who think that that is going to upset. My assumption is that they are upset because they're the people who played in their regional, wherever they are, you know, everybody had to have their own cards. And now somebody who may or may not own all these cards could be printing off proxies and building a deck and then go and win or do well at their regional and go to Worlds or Continentals or whatever on proxied cards.
At this point in the game, I don't think that the resources you've spent should be the limiting factor. I think your skill with the game should be the limiting factor. And if your crutch is that you have more cards than your opponent and you're using that to win, I think that makes you a lesser player.
I'm inclined to agree. If you're that concerned about getting hit, you know, I would be more concerned about, if you're really a competitive player, about winning against a person playing the best that they can play. And if that means they, you know, they don't have a few cards that they need for a particular deck they want to play and they need to print off a few proxies, go for it. But if you're that insecure, you know, and you want to win by any means possible, and that means by, you know, disqualifying somebody because they don't have one card, then maybe you need a different pastime.
I thought of a caveat, and that is a first edition card that I'm pretty happy right now that no one has more than one copy of, and that's a Kobayashi Maru scenario, because I really do not want to see four copies of that on four of my missions.
I hadn't really thought about it for 1E. We play Highlander
sure.
Most of the time anyway. We'll see how the revised format goes at our regional this weekend, but for 2E, again, this is not a sweeping ruling yet, and if people are doing it halfway across the world, I don't really think that you should get your panties in a twist.
I think in the end, it probably would be a good idea to leave it up to the tournament director. I mean, he knows the local meta, the local players, you know, how... At this point in the game, I would hate to lose anyone over this kind of thing. So,
exactly.
You know, it could be a local decision to say, I know I'm going to lose three of my players if I allow proxies, so I'm not going to allow them. And, you know, if that means I have to let somebody borrow cards, then I'm going to do that instead. And the person sitting across the table from this player who needs a card isn't going to know the difference, really. To be perfectly honest, if you really want to proxy a card that badly, just ask me and I'll just probably let you borrow the card. I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
And we've been doing that for years now because, you know, very few people have three of everything, or sometimes cards get misplaced, or, you know, you shuffle a dilemma into somebody else's deck and it's gone forever, and, you know, you have to borrow some cards from somebody, fine. But, you know, again, as you said, it seems to be based on your own personal playing area, so I agree. The tournament director having the final say at this point is probably the best. If it gets escalated, then I think we'll probably have to have this discussion again and see what happens.
I know my views on the purity of card images and printing have come out in past episodes, but I think one thing I would not like to see is just very poor, you know, black and white virtual cards or, you know, proxies. I think if you're going to take the effort of playing the game and you're going to proxy something, just do a good job with it at the very least.
Proxy snob.
Yeah, yes. I just don't want to see a Sharpie.
If you're not going to go out and spend $10 to get a box of something to get the card you need off of eBay, you can at least go to Kinko's and spend $5 and get some decent printouts.
Okay, maybe that's a little extreme. But you can ask someone who has a nice printer to print it for you. How's that?
That is also valid.
Right. Yeah. We have some audio of the chairman himself through a listening device we have in his office while he was talking about proxies to someone else. So can we get that now?
It's inevitable that the game will have to become proxy-based at some point in the future. There will be no new physical product to purchase for new players or very small amounts of it. The physical product that is in the hands of existing players will have been spread out so much that nobody has any more to give. At some point, everybody will have to be able to use proxies or the game won't continue. That point is a considerable distance in the future. We're testing, A, how well people are receiving it, B, how much extra work it is on the judges and the players involved, C, and what methods work and don't work. We're a long way from rolling out global proxies. There's a million issues. Do we use, do we allow each tournament director to decide? Do we only do them at certain level events? And require, say, Worlds and Continentals to be real cards only? At what point does it become too much versus too little bureaucracy? You know, and as the number of virtual cards increases, the number of paper cards in the deck is statistically likely to go up anyway. You know, at what point does it matter? You know, if everybody's decks are 60% virtual, who really cares about the other 40%? You know, especially since we've got the alternate image promos going out as tournament prizes. We've got the errata file that gets bigger every so often. Essentially, we're coming to the point where it's not going to matter, and everybody's going to be using paper cards all the time anyway. But there are a number of different strategies that have been talked about internally and externally about, you know, allow this many proxies per deck or from these expansions, or do we allow all non-unique personnel, or how do we go about doing it? But really there is no official decision. Everything we're doing right now is an experiment. You know, the first experiment was everybody can use all the missions. Now we're going to let the German nationals is going to allow all proxies. You might see some more experiments like that in different parts of the world as the years go by, but the fact is, at some point, the game is going to become more about paper than about cards. But as long as, you know, like, is that just makes it a level playing field, and that just makes it about skill and deck building and playing the game rather than about who's put the most money into it.
You know, I think the chairman makes an excellent point in that there is an up and a down, and we've got to meet them somewhere in the middle, in that the number of proxies allowed is going to have to eventually go up. It's going to keep going up with the virtual sets, and the amount of product is going to keep going down, and it's going to be harder and harder to get new players to play the game if they can't get any cards. And at some point, we're just going to end up losing new players, or losing the capacity to get new players, if we don't start allowing proxies sometime. So we might as well let people get used to the idea now.
Yeah, we've got a new player in our group, and we're probably going to end up passing a lot of cards to him. It'd be easier to use the cards that we pass on, but if there's something, you know, like if he wants to make a Jake Sisko deck, you know, discard deck, I certainly don't have, I don't even have three to give to him to let him use, so it'd be certainly a lot easier for some of those necessary evil cards to just let him just print out a few. I'd rather see what he can put together as a deck than rather see how good he is at trading or buying cards, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure he's so far, he seems pretty interested in playing some Dominion. He really liked the idea of some infiltrators and doing some manipulation that way. And I was like, oh, great. Let me see how many anything or any ones I have.
This weekend, I am hosting the Southern California 1E Regional on Saturday. The next day is the Northern California 1E Regional in Risa. We're going to get a few players that are going to play in both because they're insane. And no, actually, I would go as well, but family obligations, etc. I'm really looking forward to trying to build a deck in the revised format. I know some of the players in our group, there are a few things that are different from our SoCal format to the revised format, and they're really holding a few players back, but I'm really hoping that this new format works out. I'm looking forward to playing it, and I think it took, you know, a few tournaments for everyone to really have a good time with the SoCal 30-30 format. I mean, everyone together. We may have to play this more than once, but I think after this tournament, you know, we'll have a better feel about, you know, what works and what doesn't, so that the next time it would be better.
Yeah, we sat down, a couple of us sat down to try and play a game this past weekend just to do some testing and kind of see how it is. And we ended up just talking about the various formats instead and actually realizing, oh, crap, I can't do that. And we have to change this and that. And I think the biggest difference is going to be, and this is the biggest thing that I'm hesitant about, is the continuation of the concept from Decipher that we can't just fix the things that are wrong, that we have to fix them on cards. And I can appreciate the idea, but the problem with that is that then becomes cards that we have to play with, and particularly in 1E, there generally means that those are cards that you end up having to seed. And the way we've been doing things, like with our local Q side deck, that was a free seed and it just worked all on its own. And there was no need to do anything else. And it looks like this revised, you know, you have to seed their special Q card that lets people not use workarounds for Q the Ref. And then you have to seed the Q the Ref. And then you have to constantly use card draws to download ref cards or to download Q the Ref. So there's a lot of, you know, right off the bat, it looks like you're going to lose 3 or 4 or 5 card slots in your seed deck, which are very precious. And I think that's going to make a big difference for our local players. So it'll be very interesting to see how it pans out.
Yeah, I think someone pointed out that the difference between our format and this format is about 6 seed cards. And that's, you know, one permission. That means our 4 and 5 card combo is going to go down to 3 card combos, maybe a 2 card combo. But, you know, thinking about it, everyone's going to be stuck with the same thing. So maybe the game will go a little faster.
Yeah, we got this email from a listener, which we always appreciate. But it's, how shall I say, grammatically painful. So we won't actually read it to you, but they claim to have playtesting sources for the next virtual set.
Judging by how the email was written, I think someone's pulling something out of their nether regions.
Yeah, I hate to insult our listeners, but this definitely looks like a 12-year-old kid who is trolling the playtest boards or the continuing community message boards and trying to find whatever is going to make people the most upset and then posting it. Be that as it may, we certainly are not ones to not disseminate information to the public. So, on the off chance that this may have some semblance of accuracy, here is their supposed spoiler. We have a personnel. They don't actually give us a name for the personnel, but it looks like we have everything else. It's an online, 4 cost.
2 anthropology, diplomacy, geology, and leadership. According to this, integrity 6, cunning 5, strength 4. Kind of mediocre there.
Yes, especially for a 4 cost personnel. But it does seem to look a little more interesting. based on the game text, which is simply, when you play this personnel, both players may download a card.
So that's pretty much a jumpstart to whatever crazy nonsense you were going to do. So,
I want to know who this is now, because it doesn't even give a race, so we don't know who it is, but it's non-aligned, so it could work with anyone.
Anyone but Borg.
Okay, now I'm kind of hoping that whoever this person is right.
Unlikely, because this would do go well in any deck. I mean, who wouldn't play with this? It would go in a P&P deck, so you can get your dude. It would go in anything that's not next gen, so you can get an Energize and start things out. It could go in a Ferengi deck, so you can get your Parlinor out quick. There's nothing this card couldn't do, so why would they make a card this easy?
That's too good. Now I'm starting to think that can't be right. There's no name on the email, but I'm looking at the actual email address, and the moniker is "My name is Mud."
Yeah.
So this can't be. Oh, although that's funny, they spelled it with two D's. So, like, what's his name? Henry Mud from the original series.
Yeah, I think it's Harvey.
Thank you, Mud, for sending us this tidbit of information, and whether it is correct or not, it has certainly been entertaining. And that is, in fact, the last tidbit of intelligence we have for you this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt, we're going to give a shout-out to our favorite Star Trek punk rock band, Warp 11, for their kick-ass theme song, still rocking to their new album. And we'll also give a special thanks to our informant within the continuing committee for getting us that recording of Chairman Charlie. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And once again, I will remind all of you to expand your power in the universe.
All right, let's assume this mystery card is backwards compatible. I'll play it and download Q's Planet, so you need 40 more points to end. Section 30.